We are, believe it or not, still in Parakhet.
Are we not moving it the way we would?
We were for a while, and then I don't know what happened. The last couple of weeks, things got slowed down. I mean, we missed a week last week. We missed something else, and I can't remember what it was
you
for.
Didn't have a class last week?
No, because of the snow. So most
back,
people didn't come. Some did, a few. And we had a nice Shemuz Pasha Shavua. So we did something else. I don't know why I should per se, but I mean, I guess you have to have a rule. I guess if the schools are closed,
sure should be closed, right?
Probably. Well, only because my first question. I don't need this on tape. Okay. I really wanted two more subunits to discuss in the context of this para, which isn't terrible if we spend a little bit of extra time here, because it really is a critical. Critical piece of the Sefer. So, post Parakhet, our agenda is Parakhet is the story of the Givonim, and that will be a couple of weeks. Yud and Yud Aleph will do very quickly because it's basically it's the strategic battles of two major campaigns. And then Parakhet Bet we'll spend a week or two on. I wasn't planning to do the second half of the Sefer in depth. We're going to do from Yud Bet until Parak Chaf Aleph in a bird's eye view. We'll do it in a week or two, because that's all the maps, and that's really just which cities belong to which tribes. So there's a couple of things to discuss there. And then the last two Prakim, which is a unit unto itself. So I'm still hoping that we're on target to finishing by the end of the year. That's my goal. I don't want to take Yeshua past the two-year course, because I think that would be pushing it. Or we group for Shoftu. But in the meantime, I want to. This parak really has a central theme to it, and I want to spend a little bit of time discussing it. So let's go back to the story of Hagrizim and Harevel for a moment. The end of Parakhet. Just to put ourselves back in the context, Yeshua takes Bnei Yisrael up to. Har Gwizim and Har Eval, which is near Shechem. Az Yivne Yeshua Mizbeach LaHashem Elokei Yisrael Bahar Eval. He builds a Mizbeach of some kind, as Moshe had commanded. This is written in the Torah, Mizbeach Avanim Shlemot, in which saw the Psukim in Chumash that parallel these and the instructions of the mitzvah to build a Mizbeach out of whole stones, not cut or not. Hewn with any kind of metal instrument. Vayichtov shem al avanim et mishne Torah Moshe asher katav lifnei bnei Yisrael, and upon those stones to write the Mishne Torah. And again, we had a discussion briefly as to what this Mishne Torah is. Clearly, it's not the whole Torah. It's probably not even Sefer Dvarim, but it's certainly part of the Torah that is relevant to the experience of being of what is taking place. V'chol Yisrael uzkenav v'shotav v'shoftav omdim mizeh umizeh l'aron. All of Bnei Yisrael standing on either side, opposite the ark, opposite the Kohanim and the Levim. Chetzio al mul ha'gvizim v'chetzio al mul ha'eval. Half the people on one side, half the people on the other. And this is the critical pasuk for our discussion today, pasuk lamed dalet. V'achrechen kara et kol divrei ha'torah ha'bracha v'ha'klala. Yeshua read all the words of the Torah, the blessing and the curses. Nothing that Moshe had commanded was left out. Everything was read. Habracha v'haklala. Kol divrei haTorah. So the question that I raise, and then remember last time we discussed this, we looked at the same story in Shechem that appears at the end of Parak Chaf Dalet, where Yeshua then engages the people in a conversation and a dialogue about accepting the Torah. I will accept the Torah. Do you accept the Torah? Do you want this? Do you want to go back to your idolatrous roots? Parak Chaf Dalet is sort of a complementary story to Parak Chet, with another whole enactment on Shechem and in Shechem. I will leave for our next discussion, not for today, but for our next discussion, which will be the last subunit in this parak, the question of whether these two are the same story or different stories. That's a major discussion in the Mefarshim and has ramifications for what's going on here. But certainly you have at the very least a parallel, this acceptance of the Torah on the basis of the recitation or the public reading of brachot and klalot, and the people respond. In the Torah it's described as responding by saying amen to each one of the brachot. In Perech Haftalah, the people respond by actually verbally responding and saying, we accept, we will do it, we will. And you almost have a sounding or a ringing like similar to the experience at Mamre HaSinai, where you had this declaration of Naase V'Nishma. Everything God says, we will do, we will listen, we will hear, we accept it. It's as if you kind of have this public declaration, do you want the Torah or not? And the people said yes. Sounds like exactly what happened at Mamre HaSinai, where you had this Naase V'Nishma. So what I wanted to do this morning was actually parallel these psukim and look at them in parallel to the experience at HaSinai itself, and to see if we can't identify what the similarities and the differences between these two major events, because that really is it. The major event of Bnei Yisrael coming through the Midbar was acceptance of the Torah at HaSinai. We come into Eretz Yisrael, go to Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Yeshua reads for the people this Divrei Bracha Uklala, whatever that means, we'll see in a moment. And the people respond. Here it doesn't say what they respond with, but in Perek Chavdalet, there's a verbal response that of acceptance to all of this. So what I wanted to do is jump for a moment. We'll come back to these psukim a little bit later. Just hold them here. And let's turn to Shmot, to the story of Mamre HaSinai. Now, the story of Mamre HaSinai appears twice in Chumash. Where does it appear twice in Chumash? What's the first place it appears? Mamre HaSinai is in what parasha? Okay. Right. So what's the question?
What's Parsha
Mah? Parsha, what we call Parsha and what is traditionally called a Parsha are two different things. What we call a Parsha is traditionally called a Sidra. We can actually do this a little bit in the calendar course coming up, in the mini course. What we call a Parsha is actually called a Sidra. So you have Breshe Shmos Vayikra, Breshe Snach Lech Lecha Shmos Vayera Vavach told Yitro Mishpatim, etc. Those are Sidvot. The word Parsha means paragraph. So you can have the Parsha of, and then any subunit in Chumash can be called a Parsha. So you could talk about Parshat Man, you could talk about Parshat Marakim, you could talk about Parshat Brit Ben Abtarim, you could talk about any subunit or paragraph of Chumash as a parasha. So the parasha of the man is the story of the man, which actually appears in this week's Sidra of B'Shalach.
That's what.
No, I didn't see it.
I wonder where it's coming from.
Maybe they should send it to the to Congress. Maybe they should add it, isn't it?
But
yeah, this week's parasha of B'Shalach. That was where it was probably sent today. Okay, so Parshat Matan Torah, if to use that same terminology, appears, right? So if you want to borrow that same terminology, Parshat Matan Torah, the story of Matan Torah appears in the Chumash twice, very close to each other. The first is, of course, where the events seem to occur, which is Parshat Yitro. So first, let's do a bird's eye view of what's going on structurally in Sefer Shmot. So Parshat Yitro begins in Perek Yud Chet. Everybody with me?
What is that? That's what I'm wondering. This is so confusing.
Oh, yeah, it does the same thing here, too.
It's all of them. All of them.
Are we just noticing it?
And then you go, wow, that's too embarrassing. I'm not listening to that.
Throughout the whole thing. This is the first time I'm opening up this particular.
Okay. We need a little course in
the All right. Big parentheses. Open big parentheses. All right, open big parentheses.
That's why we're not getting very far, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly why. We're still
okay, learning. As long as we're learning. As long as we're learning, I don't care. As long as we're learning. Open big parentheses. The chapter division of Tanakh is not of Jewish origin. The chapter division in Tanakh was originally introduced by the Christians in the division of their Bible, which also included our Bible. Use a terminology, a foreign terminology. And therefore, it is really of Christian origin. And that we know. Why we kept it is a historical issue. It had more to do with the debates and the public disputations between the Christian clergy and the forced disputations with the Jews through the Middle Ages. And it forced the rabbinic leadership who were to engage in these debates to be familiar with the Tanakh in terms of and from the reference point of the Christian debaters. So really because of the Middle Ages and these public disputations more than anything else, the Christian division of Tanakh into chapters stuck and then became adopted by us. But the original traditional Masoretic division of Tanakh divided Tanakh into paragraphs, not chapters. So some of the, in the recent years, some of the printings of the Tanakh that have tried to restore the Masoretic integrity of Tanakh, as the Koran Tanakh does, as the Masoret of Kook Tanakh does, as many of them do, put back the paragraph divisions, which were always preserved, by the way, at least in print, through the mysterious peis and samachs that appear in a chumash. At the end of, sometimes you'll have, between psukim, you'll have a pei or a samach. Those refer to parshiot. And not sidrot, but parshiot. Each parshia, and the technical term for it is a parshia, not a parsha. But each parshia is a paragraph. So you have in chumash, you have this in Tanakh too, but it's less relevant. In chumash, you'll have two types of paragraph breaks. Parshiot Ptuchot and Stumot. Have you ever heard the term, the difference between them, right? So if a Chumash is written in lines that go from one end of the column to the other, you'll sometimes have a break at the end of a line with a space to the end. That ends a paragraph. The next paragraph starts at the beginning of a line. That's called a Parshia Ptucha. And other times what you'll have is a space in the middle of a line, which is called a subparagraph, otherwise known as a parshia stuma. Because it's satum, it's closed at both ends. And this is patuach, open at both ends. This is a major paragraph break, this is a subparagraph or smaller paragraph break. The original Masoretic division of Tanakh divided Tanakh into parshiot, and they were not necessarily consistent in the various versions of where the breaks were, but they were also numbered. So you could number them. And then you would have a different number system than the chapter division. And that's what appears at the end of, on the right-hand side. Not all the parshiot are numbered that way, but you have from a particular Masoretic source, a different version of the numbering of the parshiot. And so that's been preserved on the in the Koran Tanakh. So on the outside column, you find the Masoretic parsha numbering, and on the inside column, you'll find the sort of vernacular chapter division. Now, how do you know which one's on which side? How would you know which one's on which side? This has nothing to do with Torah. This is just practical printing stuff. How would you know which, the inside number or the outside number, which is the Perek number? Because the Perek number appears at the top of the page, the Parsha number does not, and the Psukim are written on the inside of the page as well in order to connect it to the Perek. So if you're looking at that, so if, as long as you stick to the inside where the Psukim are, you're gonna get there. If you look at the outside, you're going to get lost. Okay? So, Perek Yud Chet. It's the beginning of Sidra or Parshat Yitro. The first chapter deals with Moshe and Yitro in their dialogue. Skip it for a moment. Perek Yud Tet is the beginning of the story of Matan Torah. They come to Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh of the third month. What's the third month? Sivan. I'll have to come to the calendar question. Sivan, Nisan Yer Sivan. B'chodesh Shlishi L'tzipnei Yisrael Me'aretz Mitzrayim B'yom Aseh Ba'al Midbar Sinai. They come to Har Sinai and Har on the Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and what continues from here is a description of Moshe going up the mountain, down the mountain, getting instructions, conveying instructions back to the people, back to God, the back and forth. Now, what's the most famous phrase of the story of Matan Torah? What key phrases are Nasa V'Nishma, right? So what we're looking for is the story of Nasa V'Nishma, which is the acceptance of the people for the Torah that's going to come. And just as a we're going to do this backwards. I'll give it the source page. Of course, Nasa V'Nishma carries with it all kinds of famous statements attributed to it. If you look at the end, it's at source number 6, famous Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, which is often quoted with regards to the issue of Nasa V'Nishma. Darash Rabbi Simai. בשעה שהקדימו ישראל נעשה לנשמע, באו 60 ריבו של מלאכי השרת לכל אחד ואחד מישראל, קישו לו שני כתרים. When Bnei Israel were able to said Nasa V'Nishma, but not just said Nasa V'Nishma, the phrase here is, בשעה שהקדימו נעשה לנשמע. What's the uniqueness here? That they preempted the declaration of Nishma with the declaration of Na'aseh. What does that mean? It means that Na'aseh means, what does the word Na'aseh mean? We will do it. And B'Nishma? We'll hear, listen, or understand, or obey. And all of them would work. Like Shema Yisrael. So Chazal picked up on the fact that it would, that in the normal sequence it's the other way around. First you're Shomea, and then you Aseh. First you hear, then you do. Here you have Na'aseh first, and then V'Nishma. It's almost as if they accepted the Torah blindly without necessarily hearing what it or understanding what it says. And so the Malachim come, and the Malachim give every member of the Jewish people, they give them a crown, two crowns, one for Na'aseh, one for Nishma. Second paragraph, Amar Abalaza B'Shah Shekedimu Yisrael Na'aseh L'Nishma Yatzta Batko V'Yamra Lehem Mi Gila Levanai Raz. It says Shemalachei Asheret Mishtamshim Bo, when they placed Na'aseh before Nishma, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam declared, who revealed this great secret to my people, secret only the ministering angels understand. Gibor HaKoach. What is the big issue with Na'aseh V'Nishma? On the face of it, the big issue, as we said, is that they seem to have accepted the Torah without hearing it, without knowing what it says, sight unseen. And of course, we all know the famous story of Medrash about how God went to each of the nations of the world and said, "What do you? I have a Torah to give. Do you want it?" And they all said, "What's in it?" "Well, what's in it is Lotitzach." "Then I'm not interested." "What's in it is Lotignov." "Then I'm not interested." "What's in it is Lotinaf." "Then I'm not interested." interesting to note that in the Medrash, all the questions that they challenge with and all the reasons for rejecting it are all the second luach. Nobody rejected the Aseret HaDibrot because it said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha lo yelach al imachem apanai. It's lo titzach, lo tignov, and lo tinaf. It's an interesting observation about the Medrash. And then they come to Bnei Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael said,
We'll do it.
That's the myth.
That's what we've been thinking about this time.
Right, that's what we've been taught. That's the myth. And I love these myths because they're fascinating. It's not completely a myth, but it is based on a certain optical illusion. Why do I say that? So let's go through some of the psukim here, and I'll show you what I mean. The Aseret HaDibrot are in Perek Chaf. So our sequence of prakim is significant. Aseret HaDibrot is Perek Chaf. You can see it. Jump to the next parak, etc. In parak Yud Tet, we find the following sequence of events. They come to Har Sinai. Pasuk Gimel, Moshe Ala Elokim. Moshe goes up to the mountain, up to God. God calls to him from the mountain and says, Kotama leveit Yaakov, etaged lebnei Yisrael. Thus you will say to Bnei Yisrael and to Beit Yaakov, you saw what I did to Mitzrayim, you saw how I carried you on the wings of eagles, and I brought you here. If you will observe my laws, if you will keep my commandments, you will keep my brit, and you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy people. So what happens? Moshe comes down to the people, Vayavo Moshe, Vayikra lezikne ha'am. He calls over, whom does he call over? The elders. Vayasim lifnem et kol dvarim ela shetziva Hashem, and he tells them exactly what God had so instructed. Now, what did he tell them, and who is he speaking to? What did Moshe tell them, and whom is he speaking to? Oh, that's a question. Just review. What did we just say? What just happened? Speaking to the elders only. And what did he say to them?
The words which Hashem commanded.
Which are? Summarize.
That he took them on the wings of eagles.
I brought you here to Hysina, I've taken the wings of eagles, and if you are loyal to me, I will be. If you will listen to my voice, then attempt yuli mamlachat kohenim v'goy kadosh, and you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy people. You be loyal to me, and I will preserve you, protect you. You will be sgula mikol ha'amim, cherished amongst all the nations. It's a contract. It's a brit. You do something for me, I'll do something for you. Clear? Response: Pasuk chet v'yanu kol ha'am yachdav. All the people answered Yachdav together. Now, who's all the people? Who's all the people? Who is he talking to? The Zkinim. Zkinim represent the people, but I'm not convinced that he's talking to all the people. But nonetheless, whoever's there, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh. Whatever God says, we will do. Where's the Nishma? Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh. It doesn't say Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma. Right? So clearly it has to be somewhere else. That's somewhere else we're going to look for. Vayashem Moshe Divrei Ha'am Al Hashem. Moshe goes back and reports back to God that he spoke to the elders, and the elders said yes. Now the elders saying yes doesn't necessarily mean that the people are going to say yes. And the elders
argue a tat. So first you have the Ziknei Ha'am, and they say Na'ase.
Then, next, Pasuk Tet. ויאמר מהשם משה הנה אנוכי בא אליך באב הענם בבוא ישמע העם בדברי עמך וגם בך יאמינו לעולם. Now, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to speak to you in the midst of this cloud. I'm going to speak to you publicly so that the people will trust in you as their Navi forever. ויגד משה דברי העם אל השם. And Moshe reports back to God as to the people's commitment. Yomar Shema Moshe, Lechalem Kidashtam Hayom Umachar, go and sanctify, designate the people for 3 days and or 2 days and tell them not to touch the mountain. The rest of the Perek deals with not touching the mountain and placing every member of the Jewish people in their tribe in a specific place and know exactly where they're going to stand from Mamar HaSinai. So as far as the Brit goes, as far as the acceptance goes, that's what you've got. Perek Yutet, he speaks to the Zikenim. This can even say everything God says, Na'aseh. Moshe goes back. God says, okay, now get the people ready. Place this tribe here. Make sure that there's a surrounding area around the mountain which nobody can get to. Make sure that they don't touch the mountain. Anybody touches the mountain will die. V'chulei, v'chulei. And we get to the revelation in Perek Chaf. Clearly, what are we missing?
Nishma.
We're missing the phrase, Na'aseh v'nishma. It's not in this. Optical illusion number one. Then, after the Aseret HaDibrot, immediately after the end of Perek Chaf, Kol Ha'am Ro'im Et HaKolot V'et HaLapidim V'et Kol HaShofar, all of the people see the sounds and they heard the voices and they saw the fire and they were frightened. V'yamdu Merechok, they stood back. I'm in Pasuk Tet Zayin. ויאמרו משה דבר אתה עמנו ונשמעה. They said to Moshe, you speak to God. We can't handle this. We can't handle this God speaking to us. You speak to God on our behalf. We'll hear. We'll listen to you. Al yedaber imanu elokim pen namut. This is too much for us. Whole discussion in the Gemara as to whether or not this happened after the second Dibra, or whether this happened after all 10 Dibrot, as it appears here, because of course you know the famous statement that the first two Dibrot we heard directly and the rest of them Moshe reported to us. My challenge that I've always had to that assumption is that if Moshe is at the top of the mountain and the people on the bottom of the mountain after the first two Dibrot, how did Moshe get the message from the people that the people didn't want to hear the rest of them? Moshe's on top, people are down below, and there's a dialogue between them. I leave that for a shiur for another time. Maybe one year Shavuos will go through what what I think really happened. Moshe goes back up the mountain, Pasuk Yud Zayin, in Perek Chaf, Vayomer Moshe el Ha'am al Tirau, Ki La'avon Asot Etchem. First he says to the people, don't be afraid. Nonetheless, they're afraid. Vayamod Ha'am Merachok. They stand back. Moshe Nigash el Ha'arafel Asher Sham Elokim. And Moshe goes into the darkness in which God's voice is coming from. And God says to Moshe, you didn't see any image, you didn't see any picture, all you saw was, therefore don't make any gods of gold and silver. There's no physicality here. Pasuk Chav Bet, Ve'im Mizbach Avanim Ta'aseli, Lo Tivneh Tehen Gazit, Ki Chabecha Hinavta Aleha Vatechal Aleha. If you make a Mizbeach, an altar, do not hew the stones with any metal instrument. Metal instrument is used for swords, not for the Mizbeach. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. That reference is in Yoshua. When they build the Mizbeach in Shechem, it says that they didn't build it with metal because the Torah said not to. Just a collection of stones. Perek Chaf Aleph. So post Matan Torah, all we have is the notion of Moshe Nigash El Ha'arafel and V'amod Ha'am Merachot. So far, what are we still missing?
message. Perek Chav Aleph.
Perek Chav Aleph begins Pashat Mishpatim.
Ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem.
Who's speaking?
Who's still speaking?
Hashem.
Hashem.
Getting Hashem's word.
Hashem to Moshe, right? It starts in Pasuk Yud-Tet. Ve'yomer Hashem of Perek Chaf. Ve'yomer Hashem el Moshe.
Talk about the Mizbech, now we'll talk about the Mishpatim, then we'll talk about Shomrim, and we'll talk about Ganavim, and we'll talk about all kinds of mitzvot related to the Aseret HaDibrot. Not for our discussion here, but Perek Chaf Aleph to Perek Chaf Gimel,
which is Pashat Mishpatim, also includes mitzvot, chukim, and eduyot. This entire parsha,
Perek Chav Aleph, Chapet, and Chav Gimel, is in its entirety a detailed elaboration on the Aseret HaDibrot.
What is that word?
Which
one?
Eduyot.
Eduyot.
And the first one is
Mishpatim, in different parts of the parsha where these phrases are used. We usually think of Parshat Mishpatim as just Mishpatim. It's not. It includes Chukim, it includes Mitzvot, it includes all of the components of the Aseret HaDibrot, B'chagim, and Kashrut, and Ben Adam L'Makam, and Am L'Chaver. It's all there. And every one of the Aseret HaDibrot has lengthy elaboration in Parshat Mishpatim. So that the Aseret HaDibrot in Perek Chaf and the elaboration in Perek Chaf Aleph to Chaf Gimel is really a total picture. It's one of the three major collections of mitzvot that appear in the Torah. There are three places in Chumash where you find an intense description of listing of all the mitzvot one after the other. One in Sefer Shmot here. The other in Sefer Vayikra at the end in Parshat Achimot and Kedoshim, and the third in Sefer Devarim in Parshat Ki Tetzeh. So together, from the Aseret HaDibrot followed by Parshat Mishpatim, I would say you have a fairly good picture of what the Torah is all about. Agreed? Fairly good picture of what the Torah is all about?
Well, from that perspective.
From what perspective? From the perspective of the Aseret HaDibrot and all of their mitzvah. Every mitzvah in the Torah is subcategorized under one of the Aseret HaDibrot. If I have the Aseret HaDibrot and the elaboration of Parshat Mishpatim, there are no surprises left.
So isn't that the Nishma?
We'll get to the Nishma in a moment. There are no surprises left. If I have Aseret HaDibrot and I have Parshat Mishpatim, there's not a mitzvah in the Torah that's going to surprise me. Agreed? Because everything is there. Some require more elaboration, some less elaboration, some in more detail, some in less detail, but together, Parshat Mishpatim, combined with the Aseret HaDibrot, gives me a full, robust picture of what the Torah is all about. Agreed?
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for the catch.
The catch is Perek Chaf Dalet. The catch is Perek Chaf Dalet. Perek Chaf Dalet is astounding. And it amazes me often that we get to Perek Chaf Dalet because it's the end, it's the last perek of a parsha. Usually the end of the parshiot we lose interest in, and you know, we know the beginning of the parshiot far better than we know the end of the parshiot. Pay attention more during Kriyas HaTorah to the beginning than we do to the end. Most rashot focus on the beginning of things than at the end. Most shiurim focus on the beginning rather than the end. We never really get to the end of the parasha. Perek Chaf Dalet. Ve'el Moshe Amar, Ale El Hashem, Ata V'Aaron Nadav V'Avihu V'Shivim Mizkenei Yisrael V'Shtachavitem Merachok. Moshe was told by God, go up to God you, Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu, 70 of the elders, and bow down from the distance. V'nigash Moshe levado al Hashem, v'hem lo yigashu. But to God directly, up to the top of the mountain, only Moshe will approach, the rest of them will not. V'ha'am lo yalu imo. But the people will not go up. What does it sound like? What does it sound like we're dealing with here? Yeah, Marmara Sinai again. Doesn't it sound like we're back to the introduction to Marmara Sinai? V'yavo Moshe, v'yisaper la'am et kol divrei Hashem ve'et kol ha'mishpatim. Moshe comes to the people and he tells them all the words of God and all of the mishpatim. So now are we pre-Matan Torah or post-Matan Torah? No, you tell me. Are we pre-Matan Torah or post-Matan Torah? If Moshe told the words of God and all of the mishpatim to the people.
Sounds like a recap. Like he's like telling it again.
A recap of what?
Of what they already did. I mean, that they already went up.
This question. When Moshe speaks to the people and he tells them the words of God and the mishpatim, are we pre Matan Torah or post Matan Torah? Why do you say post? Because the mishpatim is parakim chaf aleph to chaf gimel. Can't be pre Matan Torah if I'm including the mishpatim, which are ve'ela mishpatim asher tasim lifneh. Then it's after. Vayan kol ha'am kol echad v'yomlu kol advarim asher diber Hashem na'aseh. And the people said with one voice, everything God says, we will do. So far, now we're in Parakhav Dalid. And we have here, we're not talking about the elders, but we have Kol Ha'am. And they say, Seh, we're not finished. Pasuk Dalid, now listen carefully. Vayichtov Moshe et kol divrei Hashem. Moshe wrote it down. Vayashkem baboker, got up in the morning. Vayiven mizbeach tachat ahar, and he built a mizbeach. Ushtemesrei matzeva lishnemasar shiftei Yisrael, he built a mizbeach and he built 12 monuments, one for each of the tribes of Israel. Vayishlach et nare bnei Yisrael vayilu olot vayizbechu zavachim shlamim laHashem parim, and then he brought korbanot mizbeach ola. Shlamim on the Mizbeach. You with me? Vayikach Moshe chatzi hadam vayasem ba'aganot. V'chatzi hadam zarak al ha'mizbeach. He took the blood of the offerings and split it in half. Half the blood he put on the Mizbeach as is required, and half the blood he put in a basin. Vayikach, Pasuk Zayin.
This is going to continue up here. Just because I don't have room.
Vayikach Sefer Habrit. Vayikra Be'ozne Ha'am. Moshe took the Sefer Habrit. And he read it to the people. Vayikra Be'ozne Ha'am. Vayomru, and they said, Kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. Vayikach Moshe et adam, vayizrok al ha'am. So Moshe took the blood and he sprinkled it upon the people. Vayomer, and he said to them, Inei dam habrit asher karat Hashem imachem al kol hadvarim ha'ele. This declaration of Na'aseh v'nishma is being sealed with dam habrit. The blood of the covenant is sealing this declaration. Vayal Moshe v'Aaron Nadav Avihu v'shivim miknei Yisrael. Vayru it ish Yisrael tachat vaglav et alokei Yisrael. They have this vision about God, and they have a vision of God's chariot. I'm not going to get into the vision, whatever they saw. Pasuk Yud Bet, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Ale Elai Hahara, Vayesha.
Moshe, come up the mountain and be there. Ve'etna lechat luchot ha'even. I will give you the tablets of stone. Ve'atorah ve'amitzvah asher katavti lo atam. And I will give you the Torah and the mitzvah which I have instructed and written on these tablets. Ve'yakom Moshe ve'Yehoshua misharato ve'yam Moshe al har Elokim. Moshe and Yehoshua and the people go up the mountain. Ve'alazkenim amar shvulanu bazeh ad asher nashuv elechem. And he turns to the Zkenim and he says, you stay here. Only Moshe and Yehoshua go up the mountain. V'nei Aaron v'churim achem. Moshe and Aaron, it says, Moshe, Aaron and Chur will stay with you. Anybody who has an issue, you go to Aaron and Chur. Pasuk tetvav. V'yal Moshe al ha'har. V'yachas hanan et ha'har. Moshe goes up the mountain. The mountain is enclosed in the cloud of God's glory. V'yishkon kvod Hashem al ha'sinai. V'yachaseu ha'anan sheshit yamim. The cloud covers the mountain for 6 days. On the seventh day, God calls Moshe up from within the cloud. On the top of the mountain, God's appearance was like a consuming fire in the eyes of Bnei Yisrael. And there he stays for 40 days and 40 nights. So I ask the question again. Are we pre-Matan Torah or post-Matan Torah? From the end of this passage, what does it sound like? To receive the Torah. Go up and I'll give you the tablets of...
Before.
Sounds like it. Cecil B. DeMille's got this whole part wrong. This whole thing wrong. The question of where this perek belongs is the subject of a major dispute amongst the Mefarshim, because it transforms everything. There are parts of this perek that clearly sound like we are pre-Matan Torah. Moshe is going up the mountain with Aaron. He's being told he will be getting the Luchot with the Torah ve'amitzvot. He's there for 40 days and 40 nights. The cloud of God's glory, the Eish, the fire, the revelation is being described here. On the other hand, Moshe comes to the people and he reads to them Kol Divrei Hashem VeHamishpatim. And they say, Nasa, so what's Divrei HaHamva Mishpatim, if not the Eseret HaDibrot and Parshat Mishpatim? So we're post-Matan Torah. See the problem? And I haven't even begun to deal with the question of the parallel between this perek and our story of Shechem, of Yehoshua in Shechem. But this perek, the story of Yehoshua in Shechem, is structured as a parallel to this Perek Chof Dalet story, the building of the Mizbeach. Actually, I charted it out for you on the other side of the page. If you turn it over quickly, you'll see. I just charted out the parallels. Right, the building of the Mizbeach, the 12 tribes, the 12 Matzevot, the 12 monuments parallel to the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 stones that Yehoshua took out of the Yarden and brought with him back in Perek Dalet. Moshe brought Olotus Vachim, Yeshua brings Olotus Vachim. Moshe took half the blood and put it on the Mizbeach, and half the blood he sprinkled upon the people. Yeshua divides the people, half of the people on one mountain, half the people on the other mountain. Moshe takes Sefer HaBrit and he reads it to the people. Yeshua reads, he writes on the stones the words of the Torah. Moshe read this to the people, Vayikrabios Ne'am. Yeshua reads the people, Divrei HaTorah, Abracha V'Aklala. In Moshe's context, the people respond with Na'aseh v'Nishma. The response to Yehoshua is not in Perek Chet, but it is in Perek Chof Dalet. So what's going on? Now, let's do three possibilities. The biggest question of all I haven't asked yet, which is, the myth. What's the myth of Na'aseh v'Nishma?
They didn't hear anything before they said
it. Right. They accepted the Torah unseen, unheard, tabula rasa, whatever God wants. Right? Before we even get to the question of the placement of this parak, the text says, Vayikach sefer habrit, vayikra biozne ha'am. Moshe took the Sefer HaBrit and he read it to the people. And the people responded and said, Naseh V'Nishma. So whatever Naseh V'Nishma means, it is a direct response to the reading of Sefer HaBrit. So there are two critical questions. Question number one, when is this parak taking place? And question number two, what did Moshe read to the people? What's the Sefer HaBrit? And of course, the question of what the Sefer HaBrit is directly linked to the question of the question of what's inside, what does the Sefer HaBrit contain, is directly linked to the question of when did this parak take place? If this parak takes place in chronological sequence post Matan Torah, so Sefer HaBrit can contain everything up until this point. If this parak took place is out of sequence and actually took place before Matan Torah, then what's inside Sefer HaBrit? Follow the question? What's he reading to them? This is the Machloket Rishon. I'll show you briefly some of the sources and some of the opinions, because I want you to see the gamut of opinions. The first, most famous, well-known is of course Rashi, because we always start with Rashi. And source number one, you have Rashi's opinion. Ve'el Moshe amar alei ha'hara, the beginning of Perek Chaf Daled begins, alei al Hashem, Moshe is told to go up to the mountain. It says Rashi, parshazu nimar kodam aseret ha'dibrot. This whole Perek Chaf Daled, says Rashi, is out of place. Belongs before Matan Torah, it belongs back in chapter 19. It's the addendum to chapter 19. Perek Chaf Daled and Chaf Yotet go together, and none of this is after Matan Torah, it's all before. Okay? Now, what does it mean when Moshe said to the people, Kol Divrei Hashem Vehamishpatim? If we're pre Matan Torah, what's Divrei Hashem and Mishpatim? So Rashi says, Divrei Hashem refers to Prisha v'Hagbala, the law that they have to separate and stay away from the mountain, not touch the mountain. That's Divrei Hashem. And the Mishpatim referred to Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. There were pre-Matan Torah of Mishpatim. We had them from the days of Noach. So those Mishpatim Moshe read to the people. What's Vayichtov Moshe et Sefer HaBrit? Says Rashi, Sefer HaBrit. Mibreshit v'ad Matan Torah and Sheva Mitzvot and the Mitzvot Shinstavu b'Mara, a couple of Mitzvot and Parshat B'Shalach about the man, the story of Chumash from Breshit till Matan Torah. That's the Sefer HaBrit, and that's what Moshe wrote down and he read to the people. So again, according to Rashi, this whole story is pre-Matan Torah. What is Moshe telling them about? He's telling them about the mitzvah not to touch the mountain and the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. What is he reading to them when they make this declaration? He's reading to them Breishit and Yitziat Mitzrayim and those parshiot of the Torah Breishis from Breishis to Parshat B'Shalach. Ready made. Moshe reads the people the Brit and the people answer, we're in. Moshe goes back to God and says, God, they said yes. And God says, good, now hit him with the aseret dibrot. Yeah. Understand this. From Rashi's perspective, here's what it looks like. Moshe comes to the people and he says, I have a Torah for you. Right? Every other nation, the Medrash says, God went and said, I have a Torah for you. And they said, what does it say? And they said, well, it says, Lo Titzach, it says, Lo Tignov, it says, Lo Tinaf. For B'nai Yisrael, Moshe comes to them and he says, I have a Torah for you. And they said, what does it say? It says the story of Bereishis and the story of the Mabul and the story of the Tower of Babel and the story of Abraham and the story of Yitzchak and the story of Yaakov and the story of Yosef and his brothers and the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And they said, it's a storybook. I'll take it. It's a story. It's a bunch of stories. It's a great storybook. I don't have to do anything. It's not Machai of me in any way. It's a bunch of stories. I'll have it. Good. Now it's not a Nishma. Now hit him with the Aseret HaDibro. Is that fair? But that's and that I'm going to call Sefer HaBrit. Sipurei Avot is Sefer HaBrit.
Well, it makes sense because
it's all they have.
And because they did make a lot of Brit. I mean,
the Avos would have.
Okay, so it's the Sefer of the Britot with the Avot. And over that, it's Nasa V'Nishma. And over that, the Malachim come and said,
"Well, we'll have the breach with God. We'll have the same breach that Avraham
had." Right? Avraham had one mitzvah. Never says anywhere else that there was any other. It never says in Sefer Bereishit there's anything more than one mitzvah. So I got seven mitzvah and the Noach plus one. I can handle that. Nasa V'Nishma, boom, Aseret HaDibrot and all the Parshat Mishpatim. And then you wonder why they go to Chet Ego? In halachic terms, we call that a mekach tos. It's a sale based on faulty assumptions. Says the Ramban, anechte getok. So the Ramban didn't speak Yiddish, but in not so many words. Says the Ramban, this is absolutely narishkeit. He says, first of all, you don't make a brit of nasa v'nishma over sipurei avot. Second of all, the Perek is in here, in Perek of Dalet. It's not in Perek Yetet. There's got to be good reason for it being Perek of Dalet. The Prokim are in sequence. And don't take the Prokim out of sequence. And therefore, you can't not believe it because it's clear in the Torah that there are Prokim that are out of sequence. The Ramban methodologically limits its application only to places where he's forced to say it, either because the text says it explicitly or because there's no other explanation. But arbitrarily, no. So in the Ramban's opinion is Matan Torah in a sense happens twice. The public ceremony, giving of the Torah, the Kolot Uvrakim, all of that which is in Perichav, and then a much more in-depth, lengthy dialogue that takes place with Moshe for 40 days and 40 nights, which begins here. But in that context, what's Sefer HaBrit, says the Ramban? Let's check this out. Sefer HaBrit. According to Rashi, is Reishit to Matan Torah.
Maybe for him it's Parashat Mishpatim.
Correct. Yes, Aseret HaDibrot and Mishpatim. Everything that they've learned up until now. The Ten Commandments, Parashat Mishpatim. He comes to them, he writes it all down, and he says, here's Sefer HaBrit. So now, what does Nasa V'Nishma mean? Nasa V'Nishma means, sounds good to me. I've read the contract. I've read the fine print. I've read the details. When you sign a contract, you sign what you've read, right? You read it first. Every good lawyer will tell you, always read the fine print. They read the fine print. Then they said, Nasa V'Nishma. The strength of the Ramban's position is that it makes sense textually. The weakness is, it's not a weakness, it's just a surprise, that so ends the myth of Nasa V'Nishma. There's nothing magical about Nasa V'Nishma. They
doesn't even make sense because they heard it before they said they would do it. I mean, they said they'll do it and then they'll hear it, but they actually heard it.
No, they didn't say we'll do it and then we'll hear it. They heard it and then they said we will obey. Nasa V'Nishma. Exactly what it means. And I take it literally and I don't have to interpret it and I don't have to give it a drasha about we'll do first and then we'll hear because we put Nasa first and then Nishma. Here's the contract. Will you do it? Yes. Nasa. Nishma. We'll do it. We'll obey it. We'll listen to it. We'll hear it. We'll internalize it. We'll understand it. Finished. And I don't have to get into fancy philosophy.
And how does he explain the fact that it appears that it looks like
Moshe goes up twice? Goes up twice. He goes up the first time to get the Aseret HaDibrot. I'm not convinced that he goes up the first time. I think, but that's a whole different discussion. But he goes up the first time, let's say. And the second time, he goes up for 40 days for the rest of.
So the first time was not for 40 days. It was just.
No, for a day. For a moment. For a public declaration of the Aseret Dibrot.
But did he have the Luchot at that point? Or
the first. They're not given to him. He says here he'll be given them. Right now, it's just open declaration. Anochi Hashem Lekecha. Spoken words. It's not written. It's written at the end of Masha, at the end. That's the Ramban. Those are my two extreme positions. If the Parsha is out of place, Sefer Brit is over stories of folklore. Ramban, the story is in place, and Nasav Nishma is on the contract, and it's detailed nitty gritty. It's a third opinion. Third opinion is that of the Chizkuni, and actually all three opinions find themselves are basically three different sources or opinions in a medrash, a much earlier medrash in the Mechilta. You look at source number four, commenting on the sequence of events, the relationship between Perek Yotet and Perek Chaf Dalet, I have three opinions mentioned: Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi, and Rabbi Yishmael. You see it? The three bullet items in the top of the left column. Chizkuni follows the third opinion. I'll just show it to you here because it's a little easier to see. Right before the bullets begin, Vayikach Sefer Abrit Vayikrabos Nehem, Avaloshamanu Mehechan Karabos Nehem. What did he read to them? Asks the Medrash. Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yehuda says, Mitchilat Breishit V'Yadkan. Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yehuda says, he read for them from Breishis to here. That's Rashi's opinion. Rebbe's opinion is mitzvot shenitztavu adam rishon, mitzvot shenitztavu b'nei Noach, mitzvot shenitztavu b'Yitzrayim u'b'Merah, v'shar kol ha-mitzvot kulan, all the mitzvot. Aseret ha-dibrot, pashat mishpatim, the works. He gave them the whole 9 yards. Then they looked at the fine print and said na'aseh v'nishma. That's the Ramban. Chizkuni follows this third opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, and this third opinion of Rabbi Yishmael is a revolution. He says, B'tchilat ha'inyan ma'hu omer. You want to know what Sefer Brit is? I'll show you Sefer HaBrit. We have it written in the Torah. I'll show it to you. B'tchilat ha'inyan ma'hu omer. What's written at the beginning of Sefer HaBrit? What's written at the beginning of Sefer HaBrit is Sheshanim Tizra Sadecha, is the laws of Shemitah and Yovel. And the Brachot and the Klalot. B'sof ha'inyan ma'hu omer. What does it say at the end of the Sefer HaBrit? Eila hachokim mishpatim hatorot, etc. What is he talking about? You know what he's quoting? He's quoting psukim from the parashiyot of Bahar and Bechukotai, which are at the end of Sefer Vayikra. How did he get Psukim at the end of Sefer Vayikra? Understand what's going on? He holds, Rabbi Shmuel holds, and the Chizkuni agrees with him, that this Perek is in fact, like Rashi says, out here in Perek Yotet earlier. And so we have to resolve the mystery of what's included in Sefer HaBrit. Says the Chizkuni, says Rabbi Shmuel in the Mechilta. You know what Sefer HaBrit is? I'll show it to you. It's not Torah, it's not Matan Torah, it's not the Aseret HaDibrot. But I'll show you exactly what it is. I'll show you where it starts, and I'll show you where it ends, and I'll show you what it contains. We have the Sefer in its entirety, bracketed, set aside, in the Torah. So turn to Sefer Vayikra, and I'll show you what Sefer HaBrit is. Point of information, Vayikra begins after they build the Mishkan. Look at the beginning of the opening verse of Sefer Vayikra. Vayikra el Moshe, Vayedaber Hashem elav me'ohel mo'ed lemor. God spoke to Moshe from the Ohel Mo'ed. What's the Ohel Mo'ed? The Mishkan, the tent of meeting is the Mishkan. From the moment they build the Mishkan, Har Sinai is no longer an issue. Har Sinai is abandoned. God's Shechina moves off the mountain. They never go back to the mountain. Hasina is a non-entity. It has no Kedusha. It has no status. It has no history. It's a complete non-entity. The entire operation moves to the Ohel Moed. Agreed? And the entire Sefer of Vayikra is a dialogue between God and Moshe from Ohel Moed. Now turn to the beginning of Parashat Behar, which is Perek Chaf Hei. Parashat Behar. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Behar Sinai Lemor. Parashat Behar begins on Har Sinai. And of course, that's the source of the famous Rashi that says, Ma Inyan Shemitah Etzel Har Sinai. This parasha is the midst of Shemitah and Yovel. That's what Parashat Behar is. What does it have to do with Har Sinai, says Rashi? How did we get back to Har Sinai? We've been out of Har Sinai for 2 years. We're in Ohel Moed. We've got a Mishkan. What are we doing at Har Sinai? So Rashi has an answer for this question. Rabbi Yishmael and the Chizkuni's answer is Parashat Behar
from Vayikra Perek Chaf Hei is the beginning of Sefer HaBrit.
That's how it starts. Now turn to the end of Parashat Bechukotai, the end of Perek Chaf Vav. And of course, you know, Bechukotai is the first place we have. What is Bechukotai? No, what is Bechukotai? What does the parasha Bechukotai deal with?
This is the whole
Tochacha. Right, this is the first Tochacha. The Tochacha appears in the Chumash twice. Parashat Bechukotai and Parashat Ki Tavo. This is the first instance in Vayikra. The whole Tochacha. Im b'chukotai t'lechu v'im lo t'shmuli. How does it end? Perach Avav. Eila achukim mi'amishpatim mi'atorot asher natan Hashem b'no v'b'nei Yisrael v'har Sinai v'yad Moshe.
End of Chavav v'har Sinai.
This piece, Perach Avhei and Chavav, two brachim, bracketed on either end by a declaration that this was on Har Sinai, says Chizkuni, says Rabbi Shmuel, that's Sefer HaBrit.
And what does it contain? It contains the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel. In other words, it contains the mitzvot pertaining to Eretz Yisrael. And it contains Brachot
Kolot. That's what Moshe read to the people. So now, according to Rabbi Yishmael, according to the Chizkuni, here's what the sequence looked like. Moshe goes up the mountain, and God says, go tell the people to obey my laws, and if they'll obey my laws, they will be for me a treasured people. V'yitam li skulam mikolam. Moshe comes down the mountain, he gathers the elders together, and he has a conversation with them, and he says, God is going to give you a series of laws, and he will be your treasure, God, and you will be his treasure, and he will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And the elders of the people say, great, Nasa. God goes back, Moshe goes back up to God, and he tells God that the elders agree. God then says to Moshe, you go back down the mountain, and you make sure they all agree. So he goes down the mountain and he builds 12 matzevot and he builds a mizbeach and he gathers all the people together in a broad national ceremony. This is before Matan Torah. And he sprinkles the blood of the Brit upon them and he reads them the Sefer HaBrit. And what is the Sefer HaBrit? The blessings and the curses. The Sefer HaBrit is a declaration of what will happen if you obey the laws of the commandments of the Torah and what will happen if you disobey the laws of the commandments of the Torah. What are the consequences of this Brit? What are you risking here? Understand the significance of Nasav Nishma according to the Chizkuni and according to Rabbi Yishmael. It's a completely different concept. Have they heard the mitzvot? Have they heard the mitzvot themselves? Not according to Chizkuni. According to the Ramban, they heard the Asarat HaDibot Mishpatim. But according to the Chizkuni, we're before Matan Torah. What have they heard? Nothing. And they haven't even heard Sipurei Avot. That's Rashi's opinion. The only thing they heard is this Brit that they're about to embark on comes with consequences. And the consequences are, if you will live by the mitzvot and you will keep the mitzvot, you will maintain Eretz Yisrael and you can maintain your national existence and you can be a nation and you can live in security and peace. And if you don't keep the mitzvot, then you will be exiled from your land and you will suffer terrible tragedy and you will suffer terrible calamity, personal calamity, national calamity, catastrophe after catastrophe. That's all they hear. There are all the severity, the intensity of the brachot kalot. Imagine in your minds for a moment what it would be like to hear the consequences of not observing the laws of the Torah without yet knowing what those laws are. Because according to Rabbi Yishmael, we perform Matan Torah. All we have is Sefer HaBrit. Sefer HaBrit is not, as Rashi says, a bunch of stories about our forefathers. Sefer HaBrit, according to the Chizkuni, is a detailed, elaborate, frightening account of accountability to God. This Brit comes with a price tag. And the people said yes. That sets the paradigm. The notion of the acceptance of the Torah, and that's why Chazal go crazy over Nasav Nishma, the power of that moment, the Nasav Nishma, is the power of accepting the Torah, not sight unseen. It's not sight unseen in the sense that they didn't know what they were getting into. They knew exactly what they were getting into. They didn't know the mitzvot, they didn't know the details, but they knew the consequences. That's the bigger issue. They knew that if they abandoned the Torah, there would be a price to pay. And every time we embark on this Brit, this is essentially what it is. It's the declaration of the Brachot V'Klalot followed by an acceptance of the Torah. And that happens three times. It happens more than three times, but in Chumash, here in our context, it happens three times. Har Sinai, which according to this is Parshiot Paharim B'chukotai, specifically B'chukotai. Again, when's the next time the Tochacha appears? In Dvarim, in Parshat Ki Tavo. And give me an extra minute, just take a look at the end of Parshat Ki Tavo. That means the last pasuk of Parshat Ki Tavo, the end of the Tochacha. Perek of Zion. No, it's not Perek of Zion. It's Perek Chavchet. Very end of Perek Chavchet. It's the end of the Tochacha. Eile. Do you have it? Perek Chavchet. Eile. Divrei. Habrit. Asher tziva Hashem at Moshe lichrot et bnei Yisrael be'eretz Moav. Milvad habrit asher karati tam b'chorev. This tochacha here in Parshat Ki Tavo is the brit that God made Moshe embark Bnei Yisrael over in Avot Moav, in addition to the brit that they made at Har Sinai. What's the brit they made at Har Sinai? Tochacha version number one, which is Parshat B'chukatai. The second brit that they made is in Avot Moav, which is tochacha version number two, namely Parshat Ki Tavo. The third time they embark on that kind of divrei habrit and an acceptance of the brit is in Shechem. Yeshua takes the people and puts them in Hagrizim and Harevel and he reads them. What does he read them? Brachot v'klalot. Blessings and the curses. And therefore we have an enactment of the brit. Time number three. And the commitment and acceptance of the Torah time number three. So the pattern that emerges, and this is really where, what I wanted to get to, is that our story in Parakhet is essentially another version of Nasa Benishma. It's another version of the reenactment of Mamar Hasina. The Brit that we're talking about is specifically the Tochacha with the Brachot Rikhalot, the blessings and curses. And that Brit appears, read to the people respond to it three times. The first, in Chorev, or Har Sinai, which appears in the Torah in Parshat B'chukotai. I won't get into the reason why it's out of place, but that's essentially what it is. The second, in Arvot Moav, 40 years later, next generation, Parshat Ki Tavo. And the third, set out in the Torah instructs us to go to Hagrizim and Harevo. We are told that we have to do this in Shem, in Yehoshua Perek Chet. What's the time difference between Arvot Moav and Hagrizim and Harevo? The time difference between the first Brit and the second Brit? What's the time interval between Hasinai and Arvot Moav, between Shemot and Dvarim? 40 years. What's the time difference between Arvot Moav of Moshe's last day and Yehoshua's Brit in Shechem? 10. No, can't be that long. Moshe dies in Zion Adar. On the 10th of Nisan, Yehoshua takes him across the Yarden. Mila, Pesach, Gilgal, Yericho, Ai, Shechem. How long are we talking about?
Maybe 3 months, if we're lucky. Maybe not even. Maybe,
according to one opinion, Moshe, they're on Shechem the day they crossed the Yarden, which means that we're talking about a little over 1 month. What's the mystery?
Why
do they need to do it again? They just did it. It's the same Tochacha. It's the same message. The brachot and talot of the Tochacha of Parshat Ki Tavo. It's the same words, exactly. I did it a month ago on one side of the Yarden, and a month later I'm going to do it all over again on the other side of the Yarden.
But this time it's with Yehoshua.
This time it's with Yehoshua, and therefore.
Maybe they needed to, with Moshe, they were making the breach, but this time.
Maybe. Our last subunit, which is next week, is an effort to resolve this mystery. We reenact the Brit. We did it once at Hasina, the Harm B'chukotai. Once we did it at Avot Moav, a third time in Shechem. Why do I need to repeat the Brit? The Nasa V'Nishma, the acceptance of the mitzvot of Mamar Hasina, why do I need it three times?
This time it's in Eretz Yisrael.
That could be. Third time lucky, third time's a charm.